Blog Talk Radio.
Goodstone, relationship healer, helping you heal all of your relationships through love, author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, available at Amazon.com, director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com, speaker, author, and seminar leader. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Today, I'm speaking with Orit Rahani, an author, jewelry designer, and expert on the situation in the Middle East. Orit grew up in Ramat Gan, Israel, and later received her bachelor's degree in Montreal, Canada. Truly a citizen of the world, she cares deeply about the Middle East and shares her knowledge and love for that unique culture in her regular local South Florida events. So I'm happy to welcome you, Orit. Are you here?
Thank you very much, Dr. Erica, and I am thrilled really to be on your show and to share my message to the world. Yes, I was born in Baghdad, Iraq, and I grew up in Ramat Gan, Israel, and then Montreal, Canada, and then the United States. I have really four cultures, four countries, and four languages, and four ways of life. And maybe I should consider myself unique and lucky because I have seen so much. But I have also seen two political upheavals in my lifetime. One political upheaval was in Baghdad, Iraq, where the entire Jewish community was transported en masse to Israel as refugees. I lived in transition camps. I lived among dangerous creatures. But after settling down after the messy beginning,
and how old were you at that time?
We had to pick ourselves up.
Orit,
yes.
How old were you at that time?
I was 10 years old. And
wow.
I just lost my father in all the upheaval in Iraq, in Baghdad.
Wow. That's an intense experience, just that.
Yes. It was less than 1 month before we immigrated to Israel that we lost our father. And we came just with my mother, and it was extremely hard for her because she lost all her husband's money.
Wow.
He had,
and how
he
many
was
children?
Wealthy.
Orit, how many children
six
did she have?
Six
children.
Yes. But we learned to contribute to each other. We learned to excel together and push together. And that's why we succeeded as a family together.
That is amazing.
And the togetherness stayed with us.
Did you have any other relatives there?
No. all the entire Jewish community was kicked out of Iraq en masse, 150,000 people, the population of the Jewish population in Iraq. They were all transported by Israel to Israel. And Israel at that time was only 3 years old.
Oh, my God.
So you can imagine that Israel absorbing so many immigrants at that time was not an easy task on either side. But we survived. We prevailed. That's why I feel that those experiences taught me so much.
Well, that must make you have a different understanding than people who grew up with a nice, intact family and a lot of love and a sense of safety.
Exactly. We did have love among our family, but it was very tough. I remember the days my brothers used to work during the day and go to school at night, but they survived. One of my brothers is CPA, the other one is an accountant, and so on.
So they were determined
to
get an education.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your education. How did you get educated? How did you go from one place to another?
Okay. When I was in Baghdad, I attended a private elementary school where I was there until the mid-third grade. Mm-hmm. And then the whole community had to stop everything because of the upheaval, because of anti-Semitism and Nazism, and leave everything behind. The government confiscated Jewish properties. So when I was in third grade, not completed, in Israel, when after we settled down and we bought an apartment in Ramat Gan, I went to an elementary school in Israel, and the language somehow for young children, we absorbed the language faster than our mother. It was harder for the older generation, but it was very easy for the younger generation. So it wasn't a problem for me to master Hebrew. And I was taught English in Baghdad and Arabic. So as much as I remember, it helped me. And then I continued my school in high school in Ramat Gan, and then I got married at the age of 20.
And let me ask did you marry an Israeli?
No, I married someone from the same background.
That's great.
He was also in the same Iraqi community that was kicked out from Baghdad to Israel and became refugees, and the whole community took themselves up. My husband enlisted in the Israeli army and he served the country.
Excuse me, did your community help each other?
In a way. But they were too busy, in a way, yes, giving tips and that kind of help. But everyone needed to advance himself. And that's why we relied on ourselves.
Wow, that's so valuable. That lesson that you could teach people just about that, to rely on
yourself.
Yes,
that's why I would like to spread the message. To go out there and talk about this message that people can overcome everything.
Okay,
it all depends on you.
after high school, let's tell a little more about your background. After high school, what happened?
My family immigrated to Israel, to Montreal, Canada.
Why Montreal, Canada?
Yes.
But why? Why did they pick that?
They wanted more opportunities. Israel was just beginning as a country, and they wanted more opportunities. So they went
that
to...
That required another language.
Yes, for me, but not more for my family, because my brothers, well, they were well-educated. They were sent to the American schools in Baghdad. Or my other brother, Aaron Murad, he was sent to the American University in Beirut. They were very well educated. In fact, the entire Iraqi Jewish community was very well educated. They spoke languages, they mastered languages, and they were really educated.
So you were really talking about the power of education, too.
Yes, I believe in that, yes. I believe
okay, I have
in
another
that
question.
Because that's what...
So what did
the
you
power
major
of education.
In? What did you major in school when you went to school, college?
What did I make?
What did you major in? What subject?
I'll major, okay. In high school, we did not have to major in anything, but in Montreal, I went to a Hebrew seminary to become a Judaic teacher, a Judaic Hebrew teacher, and I did. After the seminary, I attended university, and I majored in Judaic studies and the Middle East. And that was really what sparked my interest in the Middle East. I was looking for my identity. I explored my identity, and that's where I found it. But more so, when I came here, we experienced another political upheaval in Montreal. And that
really?
Was, yes, and that was between the French, the French-Canadian, and the English.
And what
those
point was that? Was that when you were in college? Just to get some idea of how old you were when this was happening.
In Montreal, I was already in my 40s.
Okay.
Or maybe early 50s. 50, yes.
Okay. So you were more mature this time.
And another
and you encountered
political.
An upheaval.
Yes. Where so many English-speaking people left Montreal to go to Toronto. Where it is, the majority is English.
This is
simply they
already,
wanted to.
I wanted
yes.
to share something with you. This is very interesting to me, especially on the internet, where I have so many people that I know from Montreal and from Toronto, the English-speaking and the French-speaking areas. I didn't
right.
know anything about this history, and many of us don't.
Oh yes. This happened, and the majority, the ruling now party in Quebec is Quebecois, French Quebecois. So it turned everything upside down from the English ruling majority in Montreal to the French majority in Montreal. And now it is French ruling the party, Quebecois. And their political ideologies is to separate from the rest of Canada and to have their own country. And in the meantime, that's where everything is pending. It all depends how much the people want it, because Montreal, Quebec, is a democracy. Mm-hmm. And it's up to the people to elect or to voice their opinion. But they elected the Parti Québécois, that their ideology is to separate from the rest of Canada.
So my next question is, at what point did you come to the United States?
In 1996, we came here because we had to sell all our house and business and everything. We came here as investors. We invested here in a store, and we had an investor visa. After 2 years, my daughter, Gila Matarazzo, she is married to an American. She sponsored us for green card. And that's how we got our green card, and consequently, we became American citizens.
And when did that happen?
In the early, 2001, around that time, 2001, 2002, we became American citizens.
So you have lived through so much. You must have a perspective that's so much broader than any one of us that's lived in one or two places.
Yes. Yes, that's why I would love to empower people and tell them that it's up to them to survive all adversities. And that's why I would like to take my message on the Middle East, and because why I want people to learn about the Middle East. Because when 9/11 surprised us, we did not know what hit us. People started asking questions, and I felt it in school where I was teaching in Boca Raton, Donna Klein Jewish Academy, when one teacher approached me and asked me to prepare a presentation for people gathering in the house about the Middle East, about the Jews of Iraq and so on. And I did. Since that time, I went to many houses within the community here in Boca or Coral Springs or Coconut Creek or Deerfield, and I spoke at many organizations about this subject, and I increased the number of subjects. And I really became really very knowledgeable in the history of the Middle East and the culture and everything, and current events overview on the Middle East. That's what I am going to talk about tonight in my house. It's an overview on the Middle East and how it affects your business locally and globally.
I wanted to add here that the Dalai Lama had said a while back that it's going to take the Western women to help to heal the situation in the Middle East.
If we have, we should do everything we can. Yes, there are groups who are striving for peace, and they want to work towards peace. There are groups of women, yes, they want to heal the women in the Middle East. But up to a certain point, because the ruling regimes are dictatorships,
mm-hmm.
and they have the upper hand.
Yes.
And now, this is the question I'm going to ask tonight. Was Bush right or wrong in going into Iraq, his father and him? Or another question, are Muslims united? Because what we see in the news, we see completely the opposite. We don't hear about it, but you have really to go through certain ways to find out what's going on. And there is a lot of upheaval there, right there, in the Middle East, not only in Syria, not only in Egypt, and not only in Iraq or Iran for the same thing, but there is a lot
of... And Saudi Arabia.
And Saudi Arabia. A lot of things are simmering. Maybe the question of women is not on the agenda yet. Yes, women, the younger generation, is increasingly educated and increasingly online.
Well, something just happened recently that in an Examiner article, it's out there for the world to see, there was a woman who got into a car with someone she knew from school, a man, and then a group of men jumped in the car, and then they beat her and raped her, and
yes.
then an attorney spoke up on her behalf, and he lost his license. She got 200 lashes. You know, it was really horrible, but it was out in the news for the world to see.
It is. They should see.
Something
yes.
good about that, even though the situation was horrible.
Yes, but this can be changed if the government is willing to change that. Once the government is dictatorship, like Assad or like Saddam Hussein, it's very hard to start this kind of ideology and development.
Right. Wow. So tell us about your writing. I mean, you know so much. What is it that you're writing about, and you have a book? Share something
yes.
about that.
My book is called The River of Tears. Sorry, A River of Tears, The River of Hope. Because after the tears, there is always hope, and we should never lose hope. My book is Legacy, but it contains all the history that what is going on in the Middle East. It contains the hard beginning in the Ma'bara. The Ma'bara is a transition camp that what people went through over there in the Ma'bara, even though it was not years living there, it was relatively short time, but it was still, people still were affected by being refugees.
Oh, that's huge.
And
when, Orit, you said that you went to private school, so you grow up being special and you go to this special school and you feel important, and next thing you're a refugee.
Yes, exactly.
What a huge difference.
Exactly. Exactly, because the Iraqi Jewish community was affluent, influential, and they built the state, the country of Iraq. And then they were kicked out. I am writing about this, political upheaval, and because also my grandfather was a great rabbi, and all his books, his Torah scrolls that he wrote in his lifetime were burnt in Iraq before leaving. Only two of them survived, and those are the journey and the voyage of the two Doris Cross.
Arete, you have a real legacy to share with the world, because someone who actually experienced this, most of us have no idea what really went on there.
Yes, I would love to share it. This is my aim and my purpose. Really, I would love to share it.
Well, I wanted to share with you that my father was born in Jerusalem before it was Israel. You know, so I have a very special place in my heart for Israel and for the Middle East and what's gone on there.
Yes, of course.
He grew up, the Arabs were his friends, they were all together in the old city.
Yes.
It all changed.
Instantly.
Yeah.
They can definitely change instantly. They don't ask questions. They don't ask questions. They just follow what their leaders are telling them. And that's the sad part.
That's a sad part for any group that just follows the leader.
Exactly. You must question. You must.
So you describe yourself as a fearless leader. What do you mean by that?
After all what I have been through, I really had much fear confronting life. Without my father, and my mother was not well, so I was all by myself, solving all my problems really by myself, growing up not to share much. So I was fearful, but I knew better. I became fearless.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not born fearless, definitely. But I confronted so much fear that I became fearless now. Nothing affects me anymore. So, yeah. And this is my message that I would like to share.
That's what it is. They say if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Exactly, and this is also in my book. And I am a firm believer in learning values from life experiences of other people. They have so much wisdom to share. So that's why I wrote about my family, but they are no different than yours and the other and someone else. I am parallel. Our stories are parallel.
Yes.
So everyone can...
Just explain for us how understanding the events in the Middle East affects our personal life. It seems like it's so far away. How does it affect us?
Okay. Yeah, this is something we're going to discuss also tonight. Definitely... the Middle East is affecting us, the United States, and the global community as well. Because the Middle East, believe it or not, holds 65% of oil reserves and oil, 65% of the world's oil reserves. So
that's why they are trying to develop other forms, you know, so that we don't have to rely on oil, but
exactly,
still do.
Exactly. But
well,
it is still a great number.
We're running out of time, so please share with the listeners how they can get in touch with you, tell about your event tonight. And I think this is a monthly event. Tell a little bit about it.
Yes. Tonight, you can definitely call me at 954-254-2804. 1-800-387-8787. And also on Facebook, I have a web, www.oritmuradrehani.com. And my email address is orit0rehani@gmail.com. Rehani, you spell R-E-H-A-N-Y.
So just repeat your email. Orit, repeat your email again.
orit.rehani@gmail.com.
Well, Orit, it's been really, really delightful to hear about your background. And I look forward to coming to one of your events.
Thank you very much. And thank you for having me on your show and giving me the opportunity to share my story to the world.
It's a powerful story. Thank you so much for coming.
You're very welcome.
I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond. Please stop by Amazon.com, put my name into the search, and grab a copy of my loving and healing Kindle books. They can actually change your life. And I look forward to speaking with you again. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.